저기요.
스시 주세요. 짠.
짠.
Welcome back to the Pocha playlist. Unfortunately, we do not have Andrew with us. He's in LA on a business trip, so it's just us three.
Yeah. Also, this episode will be releasing on Friday instead of Thursday, which I guess by the time people are listening, they will already have figured that out. But because our resident editor is out of town, we will be putting this episode out late. So sorry, everyone.
So I can't ask Andy what he did, but I know what he did because we were together in Las Vegas. We went to the Lovers and Friends Festival on Saturday, and we roasted under the sun. It was so hot.
Yeah.
Like 90s?
Like 100? Hundreds.
Close.
Like close 95 to 100, to 100, right?
Felt like 200.
Actually, if I was roasting in like 90, then yeah, Vegas would have been like 100. Yeah.
It's like suffocating weather. It's not even like it's hot. You just can't breathe. But the festival that we were at, now thank God that we are getting a little bit older. We don't like try to push to get to the front of the crowd.
Yeah.
And we don't stay for that long. We stayed maybe like 4 hours max, but at a certain point we were just getting tired. So Jenny and I were like, we're gonna go back to the hotel, and then Andy was like, yeah, I'm coming with you guys. But yeah, I think 15 minutes after we left, it became Astro World. There was I still don't actually even know, but I think it was either like a fight broke out and guns were being threatened.
People heard gunshots and then like ran and trampled on people.
So I don't think that's true. There for sure weren't any gunshots, yeah. But so, I think people were like, kind of, shoot you shoot me stuff.
Yeah, like it was like a fight, and then I think some people thought that fight was going to turn into a gunfight. So the people around the fight started freaking out and they're running, and so they were all kind of, everyone started running towards the back, and like climbing over the fences trying to get out of the area. And obviously, like, you know, if you see people running, you're like, I gotta run too, or else I'm gonna get trampled. So it became like this crowd mob mentality thing of like, everyone get out of there right now.
Most people don't even know why they were running.
Yeah.
But half of the group that stayed that we were with, they thankfully did not get caught in that, but they did run out and they did see people getting trampled. So
yeah.
Everyone be careful.
Crazy.
But the concert was, or the festival was 2 days. We only went to one, but the second day there were no issues. So I guess we were lucky and unlucky. But yeah.
How was Neo?
Oh, he was great. It was so hot. He came out in a suit.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he sweated through the suit.
His suit was like, you know, he had the full suit on. Then it was like one article out of clothing just started coming off. And I think at the very end, he was just wearing like a vest. And like that was it, you know?
So Jenny loves Neo. And the other person that we were with absolutely loves Neo. Like that was her, you know, the one that she really wanted to see. They went to the bathroom. And then Neo opened with Miss Independent while they were in the bathroom.
So sad.
They missed the best song.
I'm so sad.
I mean, it's not the best, but yeah.
Now, Trey Songz went before Neo. He just performed shirtless. Yeah. He was shirtless.
Did he pull up a girl to the stage and grind on her?
For sure, some girls went home with Trigger. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure. He was shirtless. It was great.
Yeah. Everyone was so in shape. I was very impressed.
Ja Rule took his shirt off. He looked great.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's pretty old now. Yeah. They're like in their 40s.
Oh, yeah. Ashanti still looked great.
Ashanti, Ciara.
T-Pain looked great. Timbaland looked great.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Timbaland? Never seen that man. I've heard his voice.
Oh, so someone was supposed to perform like with Timbaland, and that person, I think, had COVID, so couldn't do it. So the special guest was Snoop. So we saw Snoop, too.
Snoop.
I mean, he was probably already there. Oh, that was actually really good, Jenny.
Thank you.
I'm honestly beatbox.
I can't do that part.
Okay, enough about us. Terry, everyone on Discord is very excited for your Again My Life recap. So please, I'll give the floor to you. Just talk about Again My Life for a little bit.
How do know people that I'm watching it? How do people know?
I told them. Because everyone's telling us to watch it and review it because apparently it's getting really good. And I was like, Terry has been messaging me nonstop that it's good. So
solid.
I don't even really know what it's about, but why don't you spend some time talking about it?
This is drama of the year for sure. Like a real drama
Actually?
Of the year.
Jincha?
So, where do I start? Okay, so Again My Life, it's about a prosecutor, and he's trying to take down like a corrupt politician, and then his bodyguard like kills him in like the first episode.
His own bodyguard kills him.
No. The politician's bodyguard.
Oh, oh.
Because he was just getting too close to the truth, was going to expose them. He kills him, and then he gets another chance. Like, he meets, like, a Grim Reaper, and then she's like, if you, you know, could you do it again? If you do it, can you do it right this time? And then so he gets reborn again, goes back to, like, high school, and then just, like, has to like, live
it all
again.
Oh, we doing mystical stuff?
Oh.
Thought this was, like, a real life. Like, I didn't know there was Chosung Chan.
I mean, that's the only, like, mystical aspect of it, which I like, because it's just simple, right? It's just, like,
a simple premise.
Yeah, it doesn't get too crazy. It really reminds me of, if you guys ever watched, like, ReZero or, like, ReLife and those animes, like, Erased, where they just, like, it's basically go back in time to solve, like, a crime, essentially.
Right. Okay.
And then if you guys, I really like it because even though I know nothing about, like, you know, prosecution and, like, politics and things like that, they make it so, like,
simple.
You understand. Yeah, they make it simple. They build up to it. They're, like, you know, they'll, like, release, like, a video or, like, a press release, and you're like, oh, shit, they did that? Oh, then it's going to stop that guy from doing this. Like, all that stuff. They, like, tell the story really well. Mm. It's kind of like chief of staff with Lee Jung-jae on Netflix. Okay. Like, I knew nothing about politics, but I, like, thoroughly enjoyed that one.
But main, like, guy is Lee Jung-gi, right?
Yeah.
And he's the one that goes back in time.
Yeah. And he's solid fighting. Solid story. Yeah, yeah. He can fight. He's, like, MMA. You'll like it.
But doesn't this just kind of sound like Lawless Lawyer? Because he was very similar in that. He was
lawyer. Just continued right on to this.
Yeah, uses gangsters to, like, get the truth or whatever.
Yeah, and he has his own, like, gang because he knows how everyone is going to end up, you know, in the future. And so he tries to stop a lot of it and save a lot of good people along the way. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, brings them into his line, you know. And then so, like, he has, like, a family that he, like, takes care of, but they help him, like, do these kind of, like, you know, side projects of, like, saving people. But all solid.
So can I clarify? So he basically does, it's like he goes back into the past and gets a redo at his own life. So it's not like he's a different person now. It's not that he's, like, you know, somebody else.
There's no two Lee Jung-gis in the past, right?
Yeah, at his own life. Okay. And then he obviously chooses the same path to go on, like, studying and becoming like a prosecutor. But then you notice that, like, certain decisions that he makes, it does alter the timeline.
Right.
So, like, he's like, oh, that person didn't get caught yet. It's, like, 4 years too early, or, like, this person should be dead. Like, things like that. Because it's his decisions that are affecting everything. Yeah.
But you know how they, like, when you do the time travel stuff, you go back and there's, like, two of you and you change things. So now you're creating a new line. But
yeah,
I guess because he's going back as himself, he can do whatever he wants. Now, at what point do they send him back? Like, infant, like, he lives his whole life again?
I mean, he died maybe, like, he was, like, prosecuting for, like, 10 years or something, like, very senior at his role, and then he dies, and then he gets sent back to his high school day to, like,
high
restart.
School. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then he's, like, the funniest part was, like, fuck, I have to go to the military again? And
it's oh, no.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Is it done?
Uh-huh. No. It's 12 episodes are out. I'm caught up. The main bad guy, I think this is, like, another reason I keep watching it. If you ever wondered what my dad looks like, he looks exactly like this
really?
Guy.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
It's just, my friends have always, whenever he comes up on dramas and stuff, they joke, like, that's your dad, that's your dad. And that's, like, the main bad guy for this one.
Is it not someone that we've seen and said, hey, Terry, you look like that guy?
No, this one is, like, actually, if you keep looking at him, you might think, like, oh, Terry could probably turn into that. Like, just add some glasses, just gray out my hair a bit.
Okay.
So we can put this one on the Discord, right? The picture of this actor, so at least everyone will know what Terry's dad looks like.
Yeah. From there, they can figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. So what makes it so fun besides the fighting and the plot and stuff? Because, I mean, the plot, it's like something else that he's done, right? Like, why is this one so much better or good, I guess?
It's just the story is very interesting to follow because you know where he's trying to go.
Mm.
So you're trying to figure out what he's actually doing differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, I don't know, a lot of character development. He only hangs out with, like, pretty girls. He has, like, three girls that are his friends that are just all beautiful. And you're just like...
Are they
must
famous
be nice,
people?
Bro. I mean, I've seen them around. They're not like tier one actors, I would say. Yeah. Oh.
I guess if he gets sent back to high school, he should just go and kill the bodyguard right away. And like, he has more time to develop a case against the politician, right? Because he's starting in high school.
So you see him like secretly joining like the politician's secret line that they have, like making friends with the right people at the right companies. And he's just like strategizing very holistically because he gets to start so early. Rather than just, you know, like you get a case and you just like go for the bad guy and then you get killed on the way.
Props to Lee Joon-gi, man. He's been doing it for so long at such a high level. I told you on our, I think it was our 10th episode, my first K-drama ever when I was like a kid had Lee Joon-gi in it.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it. Good for him.
His moves, I mean, I don't know much about fighting as much as you, but like his moves are more MMA, I would say. He like will take people into locks and like break their like wrists or something rather than just like trying to like, I mean, he does knock them out too, but then like you can tell. And then he trains with like a MMA ex-pro guy that like screens him since high school. You know how it goes.
So he doesn't fight like Inguan and Hoshik fight like when they just wail at each other.
That's how you and I would fight.
Okay. Do you watch anything else?
No, I was too busy binging that. Oh, I started Bling Empire.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you guys watched the new season. We finished it what, 2 days ago?
Oh, don't ruin
it. Yeah, we won't ruin anything. But I will say that there's a lot of people this season that are a lot more annoying than they were last season. And it also just feels a bit more toxic than last season. Like, it's all toxic, right? But that's part of the fun. But this toxicity is getting like a little too real where I'm like, oh, this is like I'm fearful for people and their like well-being. Like it's kind of it's kind of rough. But
I'm thinking back, but I think we made the first season of Bling Empire in an actual section.
Yeah, we did.
And now knowing like our audience, I don't think people were watching it, so I don't know.
No, I think it did really well actually. So? Yeah, that's I think good. People enjoyed it.
Maybe we'll do a season two.
What do you think about the peeing standing up or sitting down situation?
I don't know. You're older than us. You let me know. I mean, what do you?
No, I mean, if Jenny got mad at you for not being able to aim well and said like, Brandon, you have to start sitting now and forever, would you do it?
I think it was Kevin who answered it perfectly. If I'm lazy, I'll just sit. You know, you also can't be peeing everywhere, which is why I feel like, what was her name? Mimi? Like, she's kind of right, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's
I think it's hilarious that he got her like a diamond encrusted toilet and then was like, okay, well, this make you not mad at me? And she's like, this makes you want like
worse.
Like, this is worse. Now you're going to get pee on the diamonds. Like, just sit down. And finally he was like, okay.
But Andy's watching it too. So maybe we could do a season two because we finished Sound of Magic and so we have nothing to watch. So maybe we could do a season two.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We can do it. Fun recap. Yeah.
But only if people actually want it.
Yeah, let us know. Like, comment or Discord us and let us know if you actually want like a season recap for Bling.
Now, you know, every episode that I watch, like we see Kane and Kevin and all of that. Where's Terry? Where is Terry in any Bling Empire episode? Like, why are you not there? Get in that group somehow.
Dude, I don't even have money to even be recognized by them. Just
how many?
Actually, Kevin's poor too. Might have more money than Kevin.
Dude, apparently Kevin is his net worth is 10 mil. So but he's a liar.
But compared to the rest of them, like he doesn't come from money.
Is it just by like, can you get net worth from just like association? He ain't got 10 mil. It's probably from his white parents.
You think so? I don't know. It seems like he has like his own company. Plus he did like all these modeling things and like, I don't know. Who knows?
But did you see Louis Tan make that cameo? He was looking good.
Oh, yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
That was like, Jamie, you dumbass.
But like right at that table, it should have been Kevin, Louis Tan, and then you. Like I'm telling you, you got to get yourself into that group somehow.
Do I just hang out at Rodeo Drive?
I think so. In a tank top.
Is that what I do?
I think you need to meet Kane and then have him meet, like, introduce you to the rest of that group.
I think I would hate Kane if I ever met him.
Yeah, same. From this season.
So we won't spoil it, but if what Kane does to Kevin happened to you, you would have broken the glass, but you would have taken another step further. Like, you would have gotten really angry.
Oh, I would have broken on his face. Yeah, I saw that part. I saw that part.
Yeah.
All right. We'll save the rest for the
Kevin
actual...
was too kind. Too kind.
Kevin is, like, I actually like Kevin a lot more this season. Last season, he was cringe, but this season, I'm like, you know what?
He's still cringe, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but he's less weird. He's less weird.
He's not afraid to, like, apologize and, like, step up to, like, make things better.
Yeah.
Or make them worse, too. You know, like, he'll just take both sides.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. He's pretty mature. Okay. All right. Let's save the rest for the actual season two. Anything else, Terry?
Nope.
Okay. Well, since Andy's gone, I'll be covering our blues.
Cheers!
So I think we start with Shimina and Frontman's story. I'm going to call him Frontman, not Seller of Good, because I can't get behind that nickname. Okay. But I think we basically put a close to Shimina's story for now. But I just want to get Jenny's opinion. Like, do you like how her character developed towards the end?
I do. I think there was a scene at the very end, you know, she takes a kid out for, was it dinner or something? And she puts a kid back and she kind of has a talk, like a heart to heart with the husband. The husband's like, are you going to file again? And she said, yeah, I will. But like, essentially that she's going to get better first and like, you know, not be somebody that depends on the kid, but like the opposite way where it's like the kid depends on her, which I thought was very great. And, you know, it's kind of the mindset that we wanted her to have. So I think the way that they executed it was great. Like, I would have been upset if somehow she got the kid back when it was obvious that she wasn't ready for the kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, overall, I'm pretty satisfied.
I just liked how I didn't want her to just move back to Jeju with Frontman, and like that's her life. And I like how she said, I want to stay in Tsur, be next to my kid, work on myself, get my kid back. And basically that means it's an end for now between her and Frontman. And I thought that was a good ending for them. But Frontman,
dude, he's just on a leash.
I mean, what do you think, Terry? Like, he needs to start
hopeful,
doing his own thing, huh?
Yeah, he's just hopeful for the future, like hoping she'll come back. Did he get the house?
I think it was an abandoned house to begin with, so I think it's his now.
Oh, so they're just fixing up an abandoned house? Is that, are you allowed to do that?
Well, I think she paid for it, like, for 1 year up front, and then decided not to do it. And she was like, well, yeah, no one's going to be in there anyway, so you can have it.
Yeah. But I want to get Terry's opinion on Frontman. Like, his relationship with his mom has to be the next thing that he tackles. And Shimina kept telling him, like, hey, go make amends or find out the reasoning at least between your mom. I'm of the opinion that he doesn't need to, but what do you think, Terry?
I mean, you know, I'm on the same boat as you.
You can't just all...
I don't think he needs everything? To. But he has, like, a lot of, like, resentment. Like, so much. Like, 40 years of resentment. Like,
right.
It's really hard to get over that. And then you have to face it all now when your, like, mom is dying. That's just a lot of emotions, and I don't know if he would want to, but also he literally is just like helping people the entire time. He's either like doing some kind of odd job, selling stuff, or like sleeping in his car. Like,
he's a good guy. Like, I don't have many negative things to say about him, you know. Yes, he loves Shimina a lot, but like, his character, he's like a true namja, you know.
I don't know if he's a namja. I think he's just a kid that never grew up.
I was going to agree with that. I don't say immature, but he just gets mad so easily. Yeah. And he's just so rude. And I just like get annoyed at the scenes where he's like, we're close. And he like grabs everyone's clothes out of their hands. Yeah, and I'm like execute that better. You know, like I get that like you have your problems and whatnot, but like you don't have to be an asshole about everything, you know, just because you get upset.
Do you guys think the relationship between him and his mom and how they patch it up is going to be different now that, you know, he's going to find out that she has cancer? I guess another way to say it is, should they have patched things up before, you know, she has cancer? Is that an issue?
I think that because she has cancer, it is more forced, you know? Like, I'm interested to see how they execute it. But, like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, if she hadn't had cancer, she's going to live another 20 years. Would any of the patch-up have even happened? And is it only because of the cancer? And also, like, does he then have an out because he's like, if I don't patch it up, then I won't ever see her again. And maybe that works in his favor or the other way around. So it does kind of speed things up a bit, which it's it'll be interesting to see how they execute it.
Do you think the forgiveness part will be forced? You know, it's like your mom's on her deathbed. Yeah. Do you just give her a forgiveness or, you know, like, do you think that'll be an issue?
I almost feel like he's not going to forgive her and then they're not going to resolve it and she's just going to die.
Yeah. Damn, if any show would do that, it would be Arvelous.
And then, like, the way that his personality is, it's like, you guys are right. You know, he's like, I really don't want to make things up with her. Like, it's fine. And I can see them just being like, yeah, this is just how people, you know, end up. You know, this is how relationships end up sometimes. Like, you just don't have a resolution. And that's life.
Terry, do you think he should at least know the reasoning from her side? Like, I guess from him, there is no reasoning. His reasoning is my mom is a horrible person or she didn't like me or whatever, but there has to be another reasoning. Do you think frontman should at least hear it?
No, I mean, we know it's gonna happen. We know they're gonna go into the backstory. But I agree with Jenny, like, he's gonna hear it, but then, like, I don't think he's gonna forgive her. All these other past relationships that have happened in previous episodes, they all had very, like, realistic endings with, like, no you know, absolute conclusion that came about it. So I feel like it's going to be similar for this one.
Yeah. I guess none of them really have like a fairy tale ending.
Yeah. That's true.
It's realistic. And like the mom is old. She's dying. Frontman's old. And I do think in like their healing process, age really does, you know, have to do with it. Because you need time to like heal. And like even if her reasoning is strong enough, the fact that she would die within the year, just it's going to be so painful for him.
I feel like
I feel like it's going to hurt for him.
I think I'm going to get mad at the mom for some reason. I can already feel it. Like, because she's so quiet the entire time. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what kind of like pulls at my heartstrings. And I already know, you know,
it must have been that something.
The backstory is going to be so sad. But like, she's quiet, but she'll look away. But she'll do things that shows that she does care. You know, she looks away, but she is listening. Like, who is my first son dating, or, you know, I want these pants, like, I'll give you an extra $5. And I just, like, I don't want to think that she doesn't care. I just want to know what it is, you know?
I think she cares. Like, I think that's the problem, is she does really care about the son, but I think she's too understanding of why he's mad at her that she doesn't even want to, like, try to patch things up.
Or like, ask she's for a forgiveness.
Like, she's very, very mellow. She's a very mellow personality to start off with. And then the son is just so angry at her that she's like, I don't even know what to do, you know? Like, he's so mad, and maybe it's better for him just to stay mad, you know?
Yeah.
But that leads me to believe that they will be able to at least have some sort of, not resolution, but they'll be able to kind of discuss. Because if she was someone who was like, I did nothing wrong, I did what I needed to, your anger is unjustified, then obviously they're going to butt heads. Mm. But if she kind of acknowledges, like, you have every right to be mad, but this is just my side of the story, at least hear me out. It could go over pretty well. No? Yeah,
we'll see how they do it.
We'll see. We didn't see it in the preview, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're saving that big bang for the latter episodes. But let's get into Daddy Ubin and Flirt. So I just want to get like a quick vibe check from like their little dates. Like, what are you guys thinking?
Good vibes. Nothing but good vibes.
It's cute.
Little bike dates, little picnics, good
I
things.
I think they're cute. I want to say that, like, my emotions for her were kind of misplaced before. Because I think that's how the show kind of does it. You know, it's like, you see everything from everyone else's perspective other than her. It's like the whole she's lying, she's greedy because she stays down there and gets abalones and whatnot. And so, like, for a really long time, I feel like I just didn't trust her either. And, like, I mean, her nickname on the show is Flirt because we just thought she's kind of flirting around with everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. But in this recent episode, I do think that we get a lot more of her character's backstory, and just we realize that she is more trustworthy than we kind of made her out to be initially. So like, their dates then make me like happier, because I think it's a lot cuter, and he really likes her, and he's very simple, I think, which makes it better too. So like, I'm starting to enjoy them together a lot more starting from this episode.
Yeah, we'll get into her stuff, but I'm glad you said that she is pretty simple, because my next question to you guys is, what do you think about their little rules to each other? Like, I thought that was really cute. And I know Terry's dating. Like, do you do stuff like that? Like, while we're dating, like, I want you to do these things and I want, you know, vice versa. Like, is that a thing?
I mean, you just kind of set general guidelines, if you can, as like a fun way. Like, mm-hmm. you can't do this, or like, I want that. Yeah. I
thought you think the ones that he asked her are pretty like standard ones, like only drink with me.
Wait, what was, there was only drink with me.
Don't smoke. Uh-huh. And then they both said, like, let's not drink too much because I want to remember our times. Like, I don't want us to, like, get drunk and fight. I want to not have hangovers and stuff. Yeah. You're like, nah, we drink. There is another one. I don't remember. I know hers were basically, like, oh, don't do things I don't like.
Oh, don't always lie to
kind
me.
Kind of chill.
Like, stuff like that, yeah.
And she said, like, let's always just be playful, which is kind of unrealistic a little bit.
I like that one the most, though.
Let's keep it playful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like always finding adventures, things to do. What? No, I'm just saying I just like the way she worded it, you know? Always, no, basically just always keep things interesting. Don't become moo.
Is that how you take that question or that rule? Like keep it playful is keep it interesting?
I see it. Keep it interesting. Don't like settle down. Always just go on adventures together and like make like great memories. But
I thought it was like, don't ask me to be your girlfriend. Like, don't like move too fast. I thought is what she was trying to say.
Oh no,
maybe all of it.
I didn't get that. I mean, he's a simple man. Pretty sure he can deal with it. Dude, can we talk about his back?
His shower scene is on my notes. I mean, I was
surprised you didn't bring it up yet. I thought that would be the first thing.
I just feel like I've been missing people in, you know?
I was like, while he was drinking, while she was in the shower, I was like, I don't give a fuck about her in the shower. I was like, I want to see Upin in the shower. Let me see what he's been hiding from us.
Disappoint. So I'm glad you mentioned like her in the shower. So Jenny, you're a girl. Mm-hmm. What do you think that he should have answered the phone?
No.
And like he was sly about it. No. You know, he wasn't gonna, but like what do you think?
I mean, I think it was an accident the way it happened, right?
Almost. But you gotta hang up.
It looks sus though.
You gotta hang up though, right?
Yeah.
If you accidentally answer it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if he had just seen it wrong and then answer it, I would have been like, no, that's weird. Like, you know, like it's her privacy and like I think they just start dating, right?
But you so know like, he wants to know who it is.
Of course.
But everyone in the village wants to know.
I know, but it's like, you know, you gotta trust your person, you know? And it's like, if you're gonna be doing this overnight trip and everything, like, you should just trust that they will tell you on their own time. Because I think if you pry too far, I feel like that's when relationships don't do well, because then they're like, oh, why are you trying to get all up in my business? Like, I'll tell you when I'm ready to tell you. Because, like, it could have been anything, you know? So,
well, I thought how he handled the situation was pretty Namja. I guess Terry, it doesn't agree with me on frontman being Namja, but I thought how Kim Ubin handled the situation. He brought her a beer.
Ubin's a Namja.
That, all right, like, do you have a kid and do you have, like, a husband or an ex-husband in Zohar?
I'm good.
And she's like, no. She's like, he's like, I could take them all. I'll handle anything else. And I was like, yeah, you will handle things. Namja, I've seen Kim Ubin handle a lot of
working
business.
That knife work, cutting up that fish. I was like, hell yeah, kill a person next, dude.
Yeah. So do you guys think her beef with the Hanyas is kind of, like, justified? Because she kind of gave her perspective, like, you know, they always say we're a team, we're one unit, one band, one sound, but they don't treat her as such either.
I don't know, it's tough because I see it from both sides, because I feel like the show does a good way of like explaining it. Like, she's diving in places she's not supposed to dive in, you know, and getting caught in nets because she's going to these places. Like,
but they don't tell her the good spots, and she's bringing in lower yield on her own without going into those places,
I guess. That's what I'm saying, I see both sides. So it's like the Hanyos are obviously like, oh, you're kind of annoying anyways, we don't even want you to stay, why would we tell you the good spots? And for her, she's like, I need to make money, and I'm sure she'll have a great reason why she needs to. So I don't know, she has the breakdown with the oldest diver lady.
Samchun.
So hopefully that helps her out. But I feel bad for her. I'm like, I get it. You know, she's from the mainland. She's just trying to make money. She doesn't understand all the customs and stuff. Like, and even if they're yelling at her, maybe it just doesn't hit her as hard, you know, because up to this point, nothing's bad happened to her because of it.
Yeah. I want to know, like, why Hanyo? Like, she could do many other things maybe in the village. I don't know. But I'm just wondering, like, what drives her to be a Hanyo? And why does she want to continue doing
it? Well, she said she liked the ocean and the solitude that it gives her. So I think that's her reasoning. But I did like when she talked to the eldest.
Yeah.
And then, like, they muted her.
What's the prediction? She said.
Yeah.
Give us your prediction.
I knew her parents were, like, dead.
Yeah. That was That was pretty given.
That one's obvious. I don't know. I feel like she has like a... Did she say she had like younger siblings?
I think she said she had a sister, no?
I don't know if it's sister. I know she said like when she was talking to Wubin, she was like, like my parents are painters, whatever. And then they quit painting. And then in this year, like me and Disaster were born. So I assume that it's like a twin of some sort. Don't know if it's like a brother or sister. So I have a feeling that that sibling probably is somebody that she needs to take care of. And
so
is
you
like
think sibling?
I think sibling. Yeah. Think, and it's
yeah,
tough
younger sibling that I think younger is in sibling. The hospital that I feel that I feel like also might have like a mental disorder. Because
I was going to say that too.
They keep calling at the same exact time every single day, like continuously.
Yeah.
And then the texting also, too. It's just...
Yeah. Very weird way of texting. Yeah, yeah. Like, the whole thing just seems very, like, out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. And she's always saying, like, I'll visit, I'll visit. Yeah.
It's like a... It's your favorite movie, Terry. It's 51st Dates. Like,
dude, don't
maybe
compare
like,
that greatness.
Maybe the person relives the day every day, so she calls at the same time, sends the same messages, and she just needs to hear that the sister's gonna visit, but she never does.
Right, now you're getting too wild. You always take ours like one step too far, you know. Just
that's my job. So no one thinks like ex 남자친구, ex husband, ex uncle, like something outside of just brother or sister.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I feel like the responsibility is too great for it to just be like an ex-lover.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think, you know, whatever it is, we'll find that out in the next coming episode. So that's pretty much wraps up their line. So we have the long-awaited Eum Jung-hwa, for those of you that don't know. I would say Eum Jung-hwa back in the day is like a J-Lo.
Yeah.
Being J-Lo Britney Spears? Maybe a little bit older,
Britney,
J-Lo.
For sure, J-Lo.
J-Lo.
This is the Eunhee's friend, right?
This
that you're talking
Eunhee's
about.
Friend. This is Miran. So why don't we get Jenny's first impression of the character of Miran?
Tough. I feel like this is definitely something that happens. You know, like there's always like the two best friends or whatever, or like
in quotes, best friends. In
yeah,
quotes.
And like you know whatever it is, like three best friends, four best friends, whatever. But there's always one person in that group is that's like thinks that they're better than the other. And in this situation with Fish Market Lady and Miran, I guess it's like very obvious because she is super super rich and Fish Lady is super super poor,
right?
And so it's like, you know, it's very very like pointed, and it sucks because we do see that they were really good friends, like, you know, they were kind of like ride or die friends at some point, but at other points like Miran really uses her wealth and her status against Fish Lady and like really, you know, takes advantage of her. So like I don't like Miran as a character from just this episode. I think she seems very selfish, like, you know, whatever. And like the things that she does for Fish Lady isn't like going out of her way to do. It's just like, oh, this is, you're like kind of my lackey, so let me give you a sandwich, let me give you some lunch, let me like do some small things for you, you know. But it's like Fish Lady will travel across like Korea to go see her in like the middle of the night. Like, I just feel like the levels are different. So I don't like Miran. I hope Fish Lady and her actually don't stay friends, or if they do, like their dynamic changes a lot, because like I'm not loving her right now.
We'll get to Terry's, but real quick, I just want to ask you guys, like, you know how in other segments we've seen one perspective backstory and the other. When they were doing the backstory for their friendship, do you think we only saw it from one person's perspective, or like those were the memories?
I'm sure there's gonna be the other perspective where like Miran sees it, yeah, sure. Or I don't know, Fish Lady took her man's, or I don't know, like could be so many things, right? But like, yeah. I'm sure there's a second side, but just from like their current dynamic that they're seeing, like I don't want that for Fish Lady. Even like the people around them are like, oh, it's the princess and the maid. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want someone to say like me and my best
and
friend are princess
the
and maid. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like that, but right. I don't know.
Terry, what do you think about Miran?
No, I don't like her at all. But
at all.
As you mentioned, like they're going to go through her backstory and make her like they did for Shimina, make her like everything she's been through as a kid, make you feel bad. We're still gonna hate her a little bit still at the end, but we're gonna be more understanding.
I guess
she did say some messed up things.
Yeah,
she did do some messed up things, and she did say some messed up things, but I guess why we have to feel bad for her, that probably will have to do with like her three ex-husbands, and one of the ex-husbands remarried, who's like the professor for the daughter.
Yeah.
And like, that's how the daughter met her new manses or whatever. Like, I guess that stuff will make us maybe feel sorry for her. But just going back to some of their memories, I mean, she picks her up on the way to school. I mean, that's nice. She helps Eun-hee get to college by faking her death. I mean, that was interesting.
But that's more of like a fun thing. I feel like that's not like doing a big favor for your friend, you know? It's kind of like, hey, let's try this out.
I guess, but Eun-hee takes it as like, she's like, I'll be forever indebted in you and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Other than that, like, what does Mi-dan actually do for Eun-hee?
I mean, it's really just the whole, you're poor, I'm rich, so let me raise you up a little bit by being your friend, right? So, like, all these other kids can't shit on you. Like, that's all I'm really getting from her side.
Okay. I mean, my next question is, like, do you think they're true friends? But it seems like you guys both answered it. Like, you don't think so.
I wouldn't say that I don't think they're true friends. It just feels more of that, like, they see their friendship in very different ways. Like, Mi-dan sees Eun-hee as somebody who will come to her, as she said, like, beck and call no matter what. Versus Eun-hee thinks, like, we're still equals and we have this loyalty, you know, and I would do everything for you and you would do everything for me. But I don't think Mi-dan sees it like that.
Do you think it's just one of those things where we, not maybe not we, but the situation has never come up where Mi-dan needs to reciprocate?
That's true. Yeah, I guess that could be a thing where it's like, Eun-hee is very self-sufficient, so it's like she's kind of doing her thing anyway, so Mi-dan never has a chance to. I can see that.
Because we know in the trailer, like, they get into a little bit of a tussle, but I could feel that, I could feel them doing, like, Mi-dan's like, oh, I am jealous of you, like, I look up to you, Eun-hee, like, I want to live my life like you and be independent. And they'll, like, go that angle, maybe?
Maybe, but I feel like that wouldn't make me like Mi-dan anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What would Mi-dan have to do, or what kind of backstory would Mi-dan need to have for you to kind of be more sympathetic?
I think for me to really like Mi-dan, they need to show some examples of Mi-dan really going out of her way for Eun-hee, you know? Like, it's not going to be a, like, oh, I'm jealous that you're so self-sufficient. I feel like that's fake. Like, I'm not going to like her more. Yeah. I think they just really need to give us some good examples, because if it's just Eun-hee putting 100% and Mi-dan, like, just taking, I wouldn't like that.
Yeah. I mean, Terry, I guess same question. Like, do you think that they are true friends? And I want to just add in this little piece of, like, to me, friend doesn't mean that I have to do things for you and you have to do things for me. You know, I'm sure I have friends where we don't ever do anything for each other, but we still consider friends. So what do you think, Terry? Do you think they're friends?
I mean, they're friends, but, like, not best friends as they're saying it. Yeah. You're just kind of forced into it, I think.
And so,
yeah.
Can we all agree that the prank that was played is pretty messed up?
Oh my god, for sure.
And
so messed up.
When she shows up, doesn't Mi-dan call her like I forgot what she calls her,
like,
something.
A doormat or something?
Like, that's
something like that.
She's that's
like,
not cool.
This
right?
is my like my friend who will come at my beck and call. She's like the biggest, like, I want to say she said, like, doormat or something.
Maybe. The translation, I think, is, like, the biggest pushover. Like, which of your friends are the biggest? Like, 제일 만만한 사람.
Oh, that's what she said?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's not good.
Oh.
Is that pretty bad in Korean?
Oh, it's exactly like
it's
that.
Just saying, you're just like, if you call someone, person. Like, a big pushover, you're like...
Like, pretty, not pretty strong-willed.
Oh, wow. That's pretty fucked up. I would have smacked her. Like, what did you say? You
know? Well, she was... Eun-hee really thought that she might have killed herself.
Yeah. That's so fucked up.
I mean, if Andy did that prank to Terry...
Terry would not have shown up at his door. Terry would be like, hey, get someone to go check on Andy. I heard someone went down.
But I just feel like that alone, it's like... That made Mi-dan view Eun-hee as more of like a plaything. But I'm just trying to see, like, what is the devil's advocate, you know, argument, like... Maybe it was endearing or something to see Eun-hee go, and it shows that they're really good friends.
I think maybe it was like she just wanted, I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where she genuinely was really upset and she was feeling down and she like really thought about potentially like, you know, ending her life. But then it was a work event and then Eun-hee was already coming. And so she just wanted to like make an excuse where one of those things where, oh, I don't want you to think I'm really dependent on you or something. So I'm going to push this back onto you. Like, who knows, right? Because we know, like, already there's a lot of things that she lies about. For example, her daughter's graduation, where, like, we know she didn't just not go because she didn't want to go. Right. It was because, you know, the husband or somebody called her and was like, hey, don't show up, you know. So it's like, we know she doesn't tell Eunhee everything because I think she wants to save face in front of her friend. So there could be like a secondary story to that.
Okay. I think we can't really speak too much more because there wasn't much. But yeah. Do you guys have any other predictions for not just them, but any of the other characters? So I have a big big prediction, which is Eunhee and Hoshik, I think, will end up together.
Yes, I hope so.
Are you on board with that one?
I am. I hope they end up together. I think that's cute.
Because they need money? Just like...
No, just... I just feel like Hoshik's always there for her.
Everyone's always there for each other, Brandon.
No, everyone likes Miran. Hoshik is the only one that is like on Eunhee's side
But like everyone's like there, I'm saying. Like physically there to support each other.
I get that, but that's... One of the higher level of there-ness is why I think like Hoshik.
Yeah, no, I get it. I feel like Hoshik also he kind of like hits on her and stuff. You know, even when like they
right eat lunch.
Yeah, I was gonna say right before he finds out his daughter's pregnant. But, like, you know, he was like, hey, you know, when she goes to college, maybe we can try to rekindle things. You know, because I think he has a soft spot for her for sure.
Well, they did date before.
Yeah.
But any other predictions, Terry, about any of the characters?
You think we're gonna see a wedding? I always
say that. With whomst?
Ubin. Ubin and Jimin.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I don't think... I honestly think there's a chance that Ubin and Flirt might break up.
Like an amicable breakup?
Yeah. Like, just like a, hey, you know, this isn't going to work out. Like, she's going to have to go back to the mainland or something. Like, I can see them actually breaking up. Because we're only, what, 12 episodes? Or what episode are we
basically, doing? Like, close to being half.
What about the kids?
So, a little bit over half.
What about the kids?
I was going to say, the only marriage that I think will actually happen is the kids. Because, I mean, they're already thinking about moving in together.
Aren't they, like, married on paper?
No.
Because I thought in the other episode, they were like, oh, those two kids are married. I assumed that they just made it, like, legally official.
Oh, not that I know.
Maybe. Oh, okay, never mind.
But I thought frontman's suggestion of they have two houses. Yeah. The dads might as well live together. That's and cute. The kids live in the other.
That's so smart.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I think that wraps up our blues. Let's get into the best drama of the year, Sound of Magic. Terry?
Cheers!
All right, the Sound of Magic, episodes 4-6. So let's ask the most important question about this drama. How come the man does not have a lock on his home? And all his friends, all the bullies, all the cops are just enter whenever the fuck they want, plant all the cameras that they want. It's just a lock.
So it's funny because every time I see, what are we calling her? Is she also bully or something? The red hair girl?
Yeah.
The vlogger?
Yeah. Bully.
Every time she goes there, which is like every freaking day, right?
But no, everyone goes there every day.
I'm like, all right, Chichango can't be there. He is there. He's like in pajamas. He's like trying to rest. And I'm like, do you guys have no manners?
Like,
this is man's home.
Can you knock? Or I don't know. How come he doesn't have locks?
Now, I guess, do we just consider that public property? Like, you can just go and come and go as you please?
Well, I think he doesn't own it. So he's just squatting there. So technically, it's not even his spot.
A lot of public places have locks, sir. They close at a certain time.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't like her. I honestly thought she would have a worse ending, like something bad would happen to her, but she kind of got off just like nothing bad happened to her.
So are we getting into her character level? Because I have some things to say about her.
Go for it. The bully?
My issue, because we have to get into the other stuff, but like he did try to choke her out.
You should have finished the job.
And like...
I'm just kidding. I do not condone violence. But like... But
he ain't doing it right.
Had the... I forget, like the parrot get knocked over or whatever.
My biggest gripe is that she hurt the parrot. That was like the only good character in this.
Well, didn't it just hurt? The parrot eventually dies. Yeah. But like, okay, let's say that didn't happen. Would he have actually killed her?
I think so.
That's a bit of a plot hole for me.
If the parrot died... He for sure would have at least knocked her ass out.
But that's the thing. It's like we kind of brushed that whole thing under the rug. We brushed their issue with each other and the fact that like he almost tried to kill her.
And she's like recording shit.
Yeah, like that, all of that. And like she has all these recordings of him. Like all of that didn't get explained by the end of it.
Well, the only part that came out. Well, okay. I guess sorry, we're like jumping around.
That's why I apologize.
Because like at the very end with the courtroom or the case, she does provide all the video evidence mm-hmm. about him, but he, you know, magically disappears from the investigation room, so like it kind of never went anywhere. So I do think she provided all the video evidence to the police, but because he is a wizard, he did not get caught.
But it's like the wrong evidence, because I guess we find out who. So the crimes keep happening. There's mm-hmm. a mysterious magician that keeps fucking people up on the streets, and then they catch him, and we find out that it's the convenience store pervert.
Mm-hmm.
And that the missing girl, he ended up killing her because she was like blackmailing him.
Yeah.
And then
because he was trying to seduce or not, what's the right word? Molest.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then she like recorded it. And then he attacks Real. And then he tries to just frame him just by dressing up as a magician at night. Man, I can't say that with a straight face.
So Real knows this is happening, but instead of stopping it, he just lights some fireworks so that the video camera CCTV can catch him.
Well, no. He doesn't know that this is happening up to this point.
Oh, that was just coincidental?
I think that was literally coincidental. That was the magic, remember? Because the butterfly settled on the video camera. They were like, none of the video cameras have worked at all except for this one at this one night where there were fireworks.
And that's why I said Real knew this was happening.
No, I don't think he knew. I think it was the magic that knew.
Who's the magic?
The butterfly.
The butterfly is then magical.
The magic, yeah.
Not Real.
Real channels. Okay, maybe my theory is like really whack right now, but I think the butterfly is the magical being.
Okay.
I think Real channels some of the butterfly magic when he does his tricks, but like the butterfly is the one that's like mastermind, you know? Like, you know, in Goblin, the butterfly is like God, kind of like that level.
So obviously. Are we all...
What?
Obviously.
Are we all agreeing that Real has no magic? Because this was the big debate from last episode, right? Is Real magic or not? Is he a magician or is he a wizard? And you guys all said wizard. Andy, no, too.
He's a magician.
He is such a basic, normal human.
Let's talk about Real. Who is he? So his real name is Minhyuk. And he was a...
Such a normal name.
Yeah, that's my name.
Wait, actually?
That's my name. That's why when it was revealed, I was like, are you fucking kidding with me right now? The drama that I hate, his real name is Minhyuk. I was like, oh my god.
Wow. Gosh. I was going to just say, like, that is such like, a traditional good Korean boy name. Like, just feels like no ounce of magic in that name.
Andy, you can zero. Cut that out. Ooh, I don't think zero. We should be releasing Terry's Korean zero. Name.
So now people
damn,
have...
Damn, put some respect on Minhyuk.
So people have my Korean name, and they know that the guy in, again, my life looks like my dad. No, that's good. That's enough, like... You know, to get people curious.
You're still
curious.
Mysterious. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, sorry. Then,
but unlike me, he was the top student, and then he just, like, lost his shit. And then he just, like, malnutrition from, like, overstudying. He drops out, goes to a mental hospital, and then he's been accused of crimes in the past as well.
Yeah. He literally drops off the building. But this is at the point where he's following the butterfly, isn't he?
Oh man, but I don't. He's not real, right?
Do you guys think that the butterfly is magical, or do you think the butterfly is in Real's head? Because I think this is an important point to clarify. Because there is a butterfly that we see, but if Real is the wizard, then the butterfly comes from him. If the butterfly is magic, then Real is just a magician, but the butterfly gives him powers.
I think there is no magic in this show whatsoever. The butterfly is just a damn butterfly, and I think...
They're just hanging out?
Real is just a man. That's okay. It. I think everything else is, like, coincidence.
See, this is why we differ, because I think that the butterfly is magical. And the butterfly showed Real, you know, when he was normal Korean boy, he was like, come on, like, let me show you a world where that's more than just studies and stuff. And that's why he jumped off... the school following the butterfly and then went to the circus because he was like, I'm done with my studying life. So I think the butterfly is like the start. Yeah.
I think the butterfly represents magic, and it looks magical on the TV screen, but the butterfly is just supposed to represent like them imagining a better life and like,
yes,
because
Terry said it better than I did.
Yeah. Like, because when she goes back in time, you know what I mean? Like, comforts herself. It's just a reason for people to believe in something better.
I see.
And on TV, yeah, it's magical, but it ain't real.
In reality,
right?
What Terry just said is what I was trying to explain. And I think because that's how I view it, it made the whole show kind of ridiculous. Because when you then now remove the magic out of it, I mean, we said it last episode. The man actually just fell over the freaking railing.
Oh, the convenience store
And he was just on
guy?
The ground. The convenience store guy. Like, there was no magic. And when we're talking about, or when you were talking about how he escapes from the stage, it was just the trap door that he goes through under because she found it, like, a couple episodes before.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I don't know how he broke out of the interrogation room.
He's a wizard.
That one was pretty good. But there really is no magic. Like, he threw fake money. Like, that should have been the biggest, like, tell sign. Like,
no, I get you. Like, everything at this point, all of his quote-unquote like magic tricks can now be explained by reality.
But last episode we did also say, like, maybe he is someone who's just imagining it all, or maybe he has like some issues and in his head, and I think that is what happened to him, right? He goes chasing this butterfly, goes off, hits his head, and now he thinks he's like a magician.
Yeah. But I think it's just more of like the fact that he is now, what is it, like, kind of like not, what is it, like pushing away reality, kind of like he's just like, I don't like this reality life of where I have to study hard and try really hard. I think he comes from a very similar family background as
number one,
and so I think, you know, it sounds like his family is pretty well off, because, you know, when they found him at the police station, his family was very ready to like pay for anything to help him get better. So it does seem like he had that stress level, and then he just cracked and was like, you know what, I'm gonna be a magician because this is what I want to do with life, and like, fuck it, you know. So
Andy's prediction about the missing girl being the parrot was just so wrong.
So wrong.
That's why I love Andy, because he'll come up with so fun stuff with that. But for me, the one character that made no sense was Irteng at the end, because I feel like they had so many possibilities for his character and they kind of went nowhere for me. So for a while I was thinking maybe he's the murderer, because he was starting to have some headaches. He walks around with a top hat and a cape also, and he's trying to be a magician. Like, maybe he's like secretly a murderer and we don't know, and that would have actually made the show better
for me.
That
would have been cool.
But if I remember correctly, he gets into a fist fight.
Gets his ass whooped.
I really don't remember what else happens for him at the end.
He just drops out.
Drop out? Yeah. Drops out.
That's what I mean. Like, that's it.
But that's all he needed. I think his whole character arc was like, I am cursed. What is he called? The curse of the asphalt or something like that.
Yeah,
like, my entire life has been paved, right? Yeah. A certain way. Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, I don't even know why I'm speeding along this road so far. And I totally get that. You know, it's like, especially in high school, whatever, you're just been told, oh, you have to do this, get in college, get a good job. And he's like, well, what if that's not what I want to do? You know, and like other people who don't have a very easy life have, you know, a time to then be like, oh, maybe this is not what I want to do. But because it's so easy for him to get there, he doesn't even have the chance to step back. And so, you know, I think him dropping out of school was the best thing for him, I guess.
I guess when you're at that level of like every opportunity will just come to you because of who your parents are, the only way to derail that is really just drop out.
Yeah.
Really put a halt. Because in my head, I was like, okay, you can still go to school. You don't have to be like number one, you know, you could just be a normal student. But I guess, like, I mean, his name is freaking first place.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough. What do you think, Terry?
No, I'm just glad that he dropped out, because I guess we can go kind of into what happens to Child too. I mean, her ending was just she becomes like a boring adult and just writes letters and then performs magic tricks for kids.
Yeah.
Is that it? But then
I think so, yeah.
Essentially, like, everyone is just like the opposite of their names. So like number one turned out he's not going to be number one. Child turns into an adult, and then Real just turns. He's fake. That's what I'm saying. He's fake. He's a fake magician.
I mean, you guys were so confident that he was
a
real
wizard.
How are you whipping out fireworks out of nowhere, you know?
Okay, but the fireworks were real.
Was it? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Because, like, no. If they were real, the crime would not have been caught. I don't know. I'm still on the wizard train, you know? Butterfly wizard. Okay. I don't know. Something. Something.
Well, now like you're that. Moving from him being the wizard to the butterfly being a wizard.
Yeah. Well, I think the butterfly is the magic. And I think the magic goes into him.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
ignore me, nice. Guys.
What happened to the love line between Ahi and Irten? Did that just dissipate really quickly?
Well, I think when he's paying her for her services, I think the love quickly goes away from there, you know?
I was so sure that they were going to end up because they filmed it so well and I was like buying into their relationship.
Teaching each other magic and shit? Yeah.
I thought like they would open up. I thought they would open up the thing again, the magic little amusement park, and they would just be there, be a happy couple. There'll be magic. It'll be happy. He started paying her for work, and he gets into fist fights. Then he dropped out of school, and I was like, where is this headed? this love line is going away so quickly. Is it just me?
Well, I think the love line really split when the whole thing came out where, the picture of him paying her came out, and then she told the teacher what happened, and then he got a medal for helping the poor.
That's pretty messed up.
That was, like, I think that sealed it. You know, the lamination just, like, done. Like, there's nothing after there, you know?
Like a library card.
It's, like, sealed and laminated. Like, nothing is coming
out
of there.
That's official. Laminated?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I guess there really is no coming back from that.
Yeah.
So, Ahi now. I have an issue with how they wrapped up.
That's Ahi, bro. I know you're hungry.
I know it's a little past dinner, but.
No, Andy, we just fall apart. So, we have a problem.
Wait, you want that seared or poke style, bro?
So by the end of it, Ai's dad comes back, which is Oyun. And it was weird to me how they also brushed under the rug the fact that the dad stole her money, is still in debt, and he goes away. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to contact you for a while. But then he just comes back and they're like one big happy family again. Like, where did that come from? Where did the debtors go? Where did they get the money from to pay off all the
debts? You know why? Like, you don't know? Because this drama fucking sucks. That's why. That's why. There's a lot of plot holes, my friend.
And, like, the whole thing with the mom also kind of doesn't wrap up nicely for me.
It doesn't go anywhere.
They also, I don't think they even mention much of the mom towards the end and, like, the messages going through. And I guess, I don't know, like.
I'm mad about the dad. I think parents who take their kids' money is just like a terrible thing. And I feel like in a lot of K-dramas, they pull that out. Like, what was the one? This came out like in 2020. It's like extracurricular. Mm-hmm. Like a similar situation, right? Where like the dad takes all the money that the kid earns. And in that one, it makes sense. They never talk again. And I'm like, that's legit, right? But like this one, it's like she just welcomes her dad back with like open arms and it's happy again.
It's like, and now we're a big happy family again, but what about the gangsters that are coming to your well, I don't know,
like what about all the pain that you put your kid through because of your debts and stuff, you know? And like, I get it's one of those things where you have to move on, so you have to forgive, but it just felt too sudden. It was like last episode, everyone's happy. Oh, don't worry about all the shit that he did. Like, don't worry about it at all.
He's changed.
It's like, God.
Do you have any issues with the mom?
The mom thing, I mean, it wasn't really going anywhere anyway, so I wasn't expecting much.
Is the mom the butterfly?
I don't know. Well, there's the whole thing about her writing letters into that, like, mailbox, and then the letters disappearing. So it's like, oh, maybe the mom is getting the letters. I'm still half convinced that the mom is actually dead at this point, so who knows?
All right, it's time to rank it.
I don't even think the mom was ever real at this point, man.
Magic ain't real. Mom ain't real. Everything's a lie. I'm mad at myself most for, like, because, you know, Andy can sometimes be, like, very accurate about his wild predictions. So when the parrot got hurt and, like, Real was, like, tending to her, I was like, I thought she was he was gonna say like a different name, like the human's name or something, like
she was gonna transform.
Yeah, like, no, you don't know, this is a person. I was just like,
yeah.
How wrong? God, so
it's
mad.
Okay. I was in the same boat, so don't feel bad. Yeah. I was expecting her to transform in that cage in front of the girl, and she was gonna catch it on camera and prove that he was a wizard, but did not happen that way.
Yeah, I don't know. So many just plot holes. I don't know if this drama needed more or less episodes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, do we need more episodes to flesh it out, or even less and cut out some of the extra stuff?
I want to read the webtoon now because I know a lot of people really enjoyed the webtoon.
I heard it was good.
Yeah, like, I just want to see how that played things out differently, because maybe it was just a translation into the K-drama where things kind of felt weird, but, like, I don't know, it just seemed, like, really abrupt, you know, like we're saying.
I don't know. I'm just happy we have the Discord now. We have, like, a channel for this drama, and so people can listen to this review and let us know your thoughts. Are we kind of ridiculous? Is Jenny's thing about the butterfly kind of wild? I don't know. Rank it?
Sure.
Yeah. Last.
So last, top, bottom three is Pachinko, Bad and Crazy, and 39.
Last.
Wow. Under 39.
Oh, you're saying put it last.
Yeah, it's last.
Below 39.
39 at least had a strong start.
And a strong end.
This one just disappointing from the beginning.
Yeah.
Chichanguk looked good.
That was That's the good. Silver lining.
Were any of the songs good for you towards the, because, you know, we did half-half. They Did you like any of the second half songs?
No, I thought they were all, like, average.
Yeah. A very average drama. Like, I think earlier you mentioned it, Terry, like, the theme of, like, you know, there's always going to be a better life if you, you know, make, if you try to get it, whatever, whatever. I think that was, like, cute themes. And, like, I was interested for a long time just because I wanted to know what Real's situation was. Mm-hmm. But I think when I found out he wasn't a wizard, I was sad.
If they, would that really have made it better for you if he was actually a wizard?
If he was actually, if he did like one trick that like was unexplainable, I would have been like, yes.
What do you mean? One. He made all the scarves come out of his mouth.
That's true.
The never-ending scarf trick.
If there was no musical aspect and they focused more on the storyline, this drama would have been better.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Terry. Did it need to be a musical?
Yeah. Did you need to sing average songs? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, didn't add much to it for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm fine with dead last below 39.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Jenny, anything?
No, I mean, I think originally I did like the show, but just it just felt so flat for me after like everything came out the way that it did. And like, I
and the magic's not real. Yeah.
Yeah. And I understood the themes, but I felt like because nothing was real, it just didn't feel as impactful to me. I don't know. Yeah, I'm fine with last.
I feel like we went into it too hot and heavy. Like
y'all hyped it up too much before I even heard about it.
Kept saying greatest showman, and he's just a magic man, and it's just too much. Huh?
Yeah,
just a criminal. Just a criminal. Right. Just a criminal that's disguised. God.
Oh God. All right. So all right. Dead last. I think that wraps up Sound of Magic.
Yep.
Okay, Sound of Magic, unfortunately, did not live up to the hype, so we are ranking it last, below 39. Next week, we're going to continue Art Blues, episode 13 and 14. We don't have a second drama right now, so maybe we'll do Bling Empire, but if anyone else has anything you want us to pick up, you can let us know. Yep. We are thinking about Why Her.
Yeah, I think Why Her comes out first week of June, so we might pick that up.
Maybe Eve.
I think I might watch Eve on my own, so I'll chat with people about it on Discord, so make sure to join that.
Okay. Socials?
Yeah, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and now Discord. Our username is Pucha Playlist on all of these. Check out our Ko-Fi and Patreon if you want to donate, if you like our podcast. And please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Terry, please sign us out.
This is the Pocha Playlist, and we're out.